What's the remedy for this, or is there one?
Well, it's a remedy which has no popular appeal in Michigan. They figured out the remedy in Philadelphia over 200 years ago, and it took them about two afternoons to agree that if you're going to have an independent judiciary, then you can't have a judiciary which has to be politically responsive to the electorate. You have to put the accountability in the appointing authority. So the federal judiciary, which I think, generally speaking, enjoys some esteem in the public consciousness, is a appointed judiciary for life. Many of the New England state Supreme Courts have justices, some of whom are appointed for life, some of whom are appointed for long, long terms, as many as 14 years, with a reexamination by the legislature. Many states have Supreme Court judiciaries whose vacancies are filled by appointment, and then after some relatively lengthy period of time, the person goes on the ballot for retention. Yes or no? Shall we keep Justice Lane? Yes or no? Well, you know that. Well, Michigan does it about as poorly as it could possibly be done, and is, though, frankly, the laughingstock of the nation. As I went around in this judicial education business, people would ask me, can it really be so that, and then they would describe our selection process in Michigan and laugh about it. That process being, as you know, and as others in our court have probably described in this history, an initial vacancy is filled by a temporary gubernatorial appointment, but the appointee must, at the next election, be nominated by a political party or file an affidavit of incumbency. The affidavit of incumbency was a great idea that Gene Black had. He thought that would eliminate this nonsense of the nonpartisan Supreme Court justice having to go to the Democrat or Republican Party to get nominated. Well, the way it's worked out is not the way he anticipated.
What would you say about the California system that was much in the news a few years ago when three members of the California Supreme Court were, rejected? They were not retained.
Yeah. Not retained.
Kicked off the court by popular vote. Well, what do you think of that?
Well, the business of a lengthy appointment which requires the Supreme Court justice to appear in the ballot for retention or no is a political compromise, which is probably roughly in the middle ground between a lifetime appointment and this partisan electoral process that exists, for example, in Ohio, where the Supreme Court justices run every 6 or 8 years on party labels. The middle ground compromise is the California system. I don't know whether it's 12, I think it's perhaps 12 years. Politically speaking, it is a compromise, and it works. If I were writing the law, I would ask my opinion. It is my opinion that all over the broad spectrum of experience, the lifetime appointment of the members of the judiciary is the wiser course. It isn't perfect. It doesn't always result in better judges or justices, but it is one which makes such an important contribution in such an important way, and it has apparently worked so well in the federal system. Not perfectly, that it's worth emulating. I don't think it's politically practical to expect that it'll ever be adopted in the state of Michigan in my lifetime. But it is a process which reposes strict accountability in the governor for the appointments. I think it heightens the governor's consciousness of the people he selects for the judiciary, especially for the Supreme Court. And I think it sensitizes the people to the importance of electing legislators who may have a confirmation role and governors who have this appointive role if they do not have a crack at the judiciary. And in the end of my speech about this is Michigan's elective process, if you look at the record, works in a surprising way. The judges who are closest to the people, the circuit judges, I'm going to eliminate the district courts now because I haven't done a study, but I did a study of the Wayne County judiciary, excluding the district courts. And I found that for a period of 50 years, ending about 5 years ago or 6 years ago, the voters of the county of Wayne never turned out one of the judges who was an incumbent, except for reasons which are shameful. The first black judge ever appointed to the judiciary in Wayne County, Charles Jones, in the Recorder's Court, was defeated the first time he came up for election. One of the very first Jewish judges to be appointed here, Judge Rubiner, was rejected by the electorate in Wayne County in the late 30s, early 40s. The first high-profile Polish judge, Judge Targonski, who was appointed to the Wayne Circuit Court, was rejected, and one or two others. But the pattern is the voters do not turn out incumbents in the trial courts. In the Michigan Court of Appeals, as you have observed, no incumbent has ever been turned out. And in the Michigan Supreme Court, there's a regular pattern of turning out incumbents, but for reasons almost no one in the electorate can explain, except to say that the opposition name on the ballot was more familiar or more attractive. So I don't think the elective process works in Michigan.
Let me veer off to a subject that, in my mind, is somewhat related here. One of the, a couple of the cases that you drew early in your period on the Supreme Court were discipline cases where that affected judges, and I wanted to ask you, too, about bar discipline. And what your thoughts were about how that's handled, both in the Supreme Court and in the interest of the state generally. Now, early on, you had the Probert case, and you had Hague. Do you recall those?